Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to finish up at least natural law in my own words, and I'm planning on summarizing the essence of what natural law, at least how the framers used natural law to build this government, to build this American society. Most people don't realize that enlightenment was evolutionary, and that as they started discovering how to improve society and how to improve their, I'll just say, harmony with God's laws. And what I mean by that is that if you want to lift society up out of the ditch, out of the gutter, then you have to start applying moral principles. And so one of the things I really want to stress here is that if you start looking at, you know, early societies, uncivilized societies, they were very debased, very, very debased. We can see that there were, if you look not, I mean, if you go into, well, it's the best way to put this, where God has had organization within society from Adam and Eve forward, then you'll find a well-organized society and a society that is enlightened to some degrees. Now, the society, when you get to, let's say, primitive societies where they completely divorce themselves from morality and so forth. And you can go to Australia, the Aborigines or the natives, the same thing with South America, same thing with North America, same thing with Africa. Everywhere where we've ran into people that have been abandoned of the morality, you'll also find a lot of similarities. They don't have a written language. They don't have any sanitation or any types of codes like that. They live in, we'll call it superstitious dogma. Those types of societies where there's maybe they have some moral code, maybe they have some guides, but they haven't started instituting constant improvement. Let's just say that good old engineering concept of constant improvement or process improvement, continual improvement. And so when we look at, and I said this before when we were dealing with a problem in Wyoming where these educators were referring to the Christian morality as old world ways, and actually they're new world ways. The old world ways is no morality, no what's the best way to put this? Just basically a debased society. A debased society is the antithesis. That's a better word. A debased society is antithesis of what is best for society, for your family, and so forth. I mean, you want to improve your lot for your children, you have to give them a better society, and not one that is not one that is central control. Or let's look at the energies of centrifugal and centripetal energy, because when you look at centrifugal energy, it allows energy to flow outward, right? When you're spinning around and you've got water in a bucket, centrifugal energy keeps that water in that bucket. It also allows in political energy with centrifugal energy. When you put those two together, centrifugal political energy allows the decisions and controls to outward flow to the furthest point to where the decisions can be made best. This is how Jefferson described our republic, this experiment, that this constitution and everything that they had evolved to at that point, to where at the most all of your laws were being done. And opening it in now, but there has to be this symbiosis within society. And when I say society, I don't mean just the government. I mean these other factors, your community, your religion, some practices, and so forth. And so when you allow that political energy to flow outward, then you have the most say over your government and what your government does. But when you have a centripetal, pull the energy in, pull the decisions to a central point, kind of like the energy of an atom, where the nucleus constantly holds the electrons and everything in check to keep them there. Well, then there's no decisions being made in the perimeter. There's no decisions being made outward. They're trying to make all the decisions centralized. And that's good for the atom, but that's not necessarily good for society in a societal point. Statism, communism, and what the Democrats are planning on doing with America is forcing the pull of a, let's just say, a very dangerous energy in taking full control. And so, anyway, let me just go ahead, because I'm dancing around this a little bit. And so let me just go ahead and kind of get through some of the obligatories. I'll dive into some of my words because I want to read some of this stuff I wrote about in my book so that we can start putting things into context somewhat. And then I'll kind of summarize the best way we can just understand what natural law really is. And so, as you know, the show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And you are listening to the only show that provides you with the academic evidence and the academic evidence-based solutions necessary in getting our Constitution back and getting the federal government back into the constraints of the Constitution and allowing the states to freely move forward. I know that there's a lot of people that, and I've just recently talked to a few, that all express concern over this thing called the communist movement and so forth. And I want you to understand something, that you actually have the power. When we look at what's going on in the news, we're being told, and I can't believe how many times I hear people say, well, it looks like, you know, they have taken us too far beyond the point. We don't have enough patriots. I disagree. I absolutely disagree. You're only looking at 20%. The problem is you're never going to get a lot of people that are willing to do anything to make change. You'll hear lots of people complain, and that's why the grievance industry is profiting so much. But the fact of the matter is we are in a position where we actually can take this back. So one of the things I want to remind you that I believe I said this in our previous episode. If we fight Satan or the globalist progressives or whoever you see as the enemy, I just refer to the enemy as Satan, then whenever we fight the enemy on their terms, in other words, they create these laws and you go into their courts to fight them, then you are going to lose that battle every time. However, if we actually go back and coalesce the states and get the states to make these decisions, they and we will win this battle based on the Constitution. It is time to start putting the Constitution over the party and over almost every other interest that is out there. There's this one term I want to give you some information on, deplatformed. I don't know if you've ever heard of deplatformed, but if you know people that have conservative websites on, and as a matter of fact, let's be blunt here. What is that? A WordPress. So there's a lot of people that are using WordPress as a platform, and conservative organizations have been using WordPress. I will tell you that WordPress is starting to kick off and actually basically giving The conservative treehouse is one. They just announced that they've been deplatformed from WordPress and are hoping to find another platform. If you are looking for a platform because you can't find any domain hosting or you're being deplatformed, then I would highly recommend you go to AdLocal and go to adlocal.com and research these guys, reach out, talk to them, and get your hosting transferred over to them. This is a conservative, let's not even say conservative, let's say a true liberal company that believes in the freedom of speech. And so they, as you know, they give my listeners actually a discount. So let's say you've got a business, and let's say you have email. Let's say you've got web hosting. If you're doing those things and you're paying GoDaddy, if you're paying any of these large corporations for your web hosting, for your email support and that type of stuff, then if you have email lists like Constant Contact, MailChimp, and those types of companies, you need to move and start paying AdLocal, because AdLocal is not going to actually use their money to promote progressive ideas, and they're not going to deplatform you because you have a conservative voice. And so it is happening. And because we're seeing things like like the conservative treehouse being deplatformed, that is a warning sign, friends, that the intolerance and the despotism is going to start coming from corporations as well as the government, because they are emboldened. We will be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a wired connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so where are we? Well, we were just going into break, and I was just telling you about what's going on with the deep state, how they're going after all of these conservative sites that are being hosted on such as WordPress. A lot of these progressives have been emboldened. I honestly think they're getting the nod, being hoodwinked into saying, don't worry, we're going to allow you to continue to suppress alternate thought and speech and silence the conservatives. They're making a move to completely start burning, or, you know, like what the Nazis did and every other takeover of statism. They're trying to oppose all, or not just oppose, but they're actually trying to silence and get rid of all of these contrary, or what they consider is opposition. I mean, Pol Pot, he actually went out into the, he created the killing fields because anybody that had an education posed a real threat to him. I mean, this isn't something that we're just casually saying here. Anybody that had a degree means that they had a level of understanding of what was right, what wasn't right, what would work, what wouldn't work. And they also targeted those, we'll say, elderly, because the elderly, they have a little bit of wisdom. They go, well, you know, we've tried that before. That won't work. They don't want anybody around to actually give the truth to the blind lemmings that they have just convinced in overthrowing the government. So this is why, if you have a business and you do use a MailChimp, or if you do use Constant Contact, any type of program like that, reach out to reach out to AdLocal. Just let them know that, hey, you're a listener and GR's recommended you, and they will take care of you. They'll transition you, they will help you, and they will get you moving again so that you don't have to look over your shoulder. It's the same thing with your website. If you have a web page or a domain out there, and you're actually supporting a company you don't even know, why not support those who are champions for the Constitution? I can tell you, I know that AdLocal is behind a lot of other constitutional organizations, and they're a full supporter of Republic Review. They're the ones that are actually helping us with the videos. We're going to redo those so that we can have the AdLocal. And so if you're going, well, what's in it for GR? You know, obviously they're paying GR. No, they're actually just helping me do these videos at really no cost for me, because, and I'm giving them this free advertisement. I'm not receiving a penny here. The less revenue I bring in, the less money I have to report for taxes. And so if you want to say that they're doing this for free, I'm doing that for free, then we'll just write it off. Anyway, what we're going to get into after I go through the laws of nature, then we're going to get into the scale of liberty. And so let me just go ahead and kind of take off or pick up where I left off yesterday. Sexual deviance is the antithesis of human survival and the propagation of the human race. Historically, deviant sexual practices, such as homosexuality, begin to rear its head as a tolerated amusement during times of opulence. I mean, have you ever noticed how there's certain ethnicities or groups, oh, look at my little Johnny, he does so well with the day, and they actually embrace those things. They put a dress on him. And they actually allow the clouded delusions of a child that has zero understanding of what they're doing, and they just let them go. Within the paradigm that is shared by most historians, the family is the building block of society. In context of the term, quote unquote, family, a family refers to the genetic background of a person's father and mother and their heritage. Historians discuss religions and societies who embraced all forms of debauchery, rejecting the family and property, all of which are extinct. And when I say all of which are extinct, the societies that embrace debauchery and rejecting the family and property, those societies, all of which are extinct. And as a matter of fact, Ludwig von Mises points this out in his treatise of socialism and economic analysis, or what have you. The key word is extinct, which is precisely how Mises referred to it, to these perverted ideologies, as a society which has risen to heights of enlightenment, of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. Are we really going to embrace the destructive ideologies and selfish conceits that have destroyed other previous societies? Of course. Unless we place these practices into proper perspective, a perspective that labels these acts as destructive to oneself and society. As progressives have monopolized, see, I want you to know that the progressives in the education system point to me and any parents that want to, you know, shun, you know, open sexual practice and just free sexual autonomy, that a child should be able to just do whatever they want to as long as it feels good, then I'm telling you, they look at us as the enemy. And they're teaching these kids, these are the people that want to take away your good time. This is how they're debasing our society. So anyway, as progressives have monopolized the classroom, their paramount goal since the early days of the Fabian movement was to debase procreation as a mere physical act and destroy the family. They've been able to do this by coalescing historical data and facts and encouraging sexual indulgence. Consequently, as long as society continues to allow the progressives to monopolize the narrative, ignoring history and denying the existence of empirical data from a plethora of previous cultures and societies, the highly impressionable youth will adhere to progressives' scripts. Again, censorship of information and projecting a biased narrative to promote one's end and been a successful practice for thousands of years. The concept of homosexual parents should be an insult to practicing homosexuals by embracing the repulsive byproduct of heterosexuality, children, and an insult to all children. However, I'm taking a deviation here, going on a tangent. However, they have realized that if they have control of the children so that they can actually plant these perverse concepts into their minds, then voila, now they have a growing, because see, it's not just about the real wants and desires. They don't even know it as they try to actually propagate this perversion down the down into the minds and these impressionable children's heads so that they can actually destroy society. You know, most people don't even think, oh, that we're not going to be doing that. But actually, that's exactly what they're doing. And so, and history proves this. As a technologically advanced society, we may have harnessed technology to do amazing things. However, we cannot deny the, quote, nature, close quote, and natural law of children and family. Just because we can technically kill a person on an operating table and bring them back to life, like in the movie Flatliners, simply for the experience, does not mean this is a good or moral thing to practice in society. Again, children are a byproduct of heterosexuality in nature. Furthermore, homosexuality defies the makeup of the affirmation family tree and perverts the posterity of future generations. If continued, there won't be any posterity for those genetic lines unless one continues to trace the genetics of the egg and sperm donors for medical history, genetic traits, potential mates, and so forth. Because the point I'm trying to make here is you realize that it's not like there's this ability to take, you know, excuse me, if this is too adult for some people, taking two sperms, a sperm from one man and a sperm from another, and then genetically creating a child from that. And you have to understand that all the controls are right there within the laboratory. In nature, as this is how we actually can see when you have two parents, a male and female, and they have a child, each of their children, they can have 12 children, and none of them look alike because they adopt unique different characteristics of the different genetic lines. And, oh, that one looks like grandpa, and this one looks like dad, and so forth and so on. They all go bald, but these kinds of traits, you know, are a fact of nature, of how they, you know, genetically develop themselves. This does not happen with homosexual genetic engineering. It is going to be done, and there's a good likelihood that you can actually have, you know, identical twins if you do the exact same merging of the genetic code for each child. Not doing this could result in brothers and sisters unknowingly breed in a test tube. That's the other danger of going down this path. is that, you know, as they propagate these concepts, next thing you know, they will be actually practicing, potentially practicing incest right there in the laboratory. And we're almost out of time for this segment, so I'm going to save the rest for the next segment. We have a few more paragraphs to go. My point, and I hope you're starting to understand, that when you really start looking and fully arguing all of the issues that are on the table just regarding the concept of taking two like genders and creating a child from their DNA, from their, you know, like I said, eggs or sperm or what have you, that does not mean that that is a form of nature. And what it is it is undermining the building block of our society, which is the family. And so when we come right back, we'll dive into some more of these things of my own words, and I'll give you some summations here. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so now let me finish these words regarding natural law from my own book. And I'm just reading this so I can kind of cover some of the things that I think are really important that I want to put it into context for you. There is a plethora of works which illustrates that the greatest joy in life comes from a family overcoming the challenges in life. Therefore, one can understand the desire to partake in this, since well over a millennia's, everyone's origins fundamentally have come from the components of a family. This is not to say that orphans or adopted children are not a part of a family. They are. They, unfortunately, are the results of a man and a woman who did not adhere to enlightened behavior. For those clinging onto the genetic fate, this could be considered a design challenge, or a design to challenge one's character. Or are we going to accept that all men want to commit adultery and we should just accept adultery in context to, you know, people that want to accept homosexuality? And actually, and I'm just going to prove something here, that if you come out of the closet in America today, you're lauded as a hero. I mean, good for you. You've identified yourself. But if you come out of the closet as a adulterer, then they spit on you, and how could you do that? So isn't it interesting regarding the perversion and what you're doing? And I have actually seen married men who come out of the closet as homosexual, and they're lauded as what's the difference? They were committing adultery. They wandered beyond their marriage, but they're now a champion. But it was an adulterous affair with another woman, then that's just evil. They're both evil. In contradiction to the common genetic assertion, the American Psychological Association, the APA, originally asserted that homosexuality was genetic. However, they recently recanted their hypothesis in May of 2009. This recanting was far more secretive than their original assertion. Obviously, the APA did not want to go out of the way to set the record straight. One would think that this would have been newsworthy. However, this news has been suppressed by mainstream media since it does not lend to their agenda. The intent of this original argument was used to generate sympathy and acceptance for homosexuals. And if you understand when they did this, I believe that they actually came out in 1971, 72, when they just started learning about this DNA and this coding. And so they thought that they could take this huge leap of faith. The seculars using faith, it backfires on them all the time. And they thought that they could create this assertion that homosexuality was coded in you. I mean, you don't have any choice. This is by design. Now, what led to this 2009 recanting of their assertion was the fact that they spent decades and decades, and science has spent decades and decades trying to create the link to the DNA and to this coding, and they have never. And so if you look at it, 2009, right? And let's just go from 69 to 79, 89, 99, 2000. That's 4 decades of trials and tests to try to prove this theory that it is, you know, a genetic thing, that you're not, you know, you're not choosing. This is something that you have no choice over. And they were wrong. And so the truth of the matter, my friends, is that when we're looking at progressive assertions, 9 times out of 10, just like evolution, it's a hypothesis. It is not scientific law. And as a matter of fact, the genetic code and all of the things that are essential in life and life forms itself, and I say this all the time because the Miller-Ulrich experiment proved this, that software, that coding, those things that are essential to life itself didn't just happen. That, you know, it's just like, and this is the best metaphor I can put it into, you know, with all the minerals, without any life on this planet, with all the minerals, the Earth could have equally created a computer just like it could have created the shell of a man or a human being or some type of life form. It could have created the shell of that, but it cannot create the life itself. Just like it could create the computer, but it can't make the computer function and work. Because as you understand, there is software and there's code that makes that thing function, where with a human or with life itself, there, just even with trees, there are genomes and DNA strands that actually create the, you know, these life forms the way they are. There is, and I remember, I think it's something like in the 80s or maybe 90% between a frog and a human. I mean, we share that much DNA that's very similar. But the nuances that go from in that 10% that actually differentiates a frog from a chimpanzee, from a giraffe and human and all of these different life forms, even sharks and fowl and so forth, they all have DNA patterns, and how they're all somewhat, you know, similar, They have the basic building blocks, but the differentiators are in a small amount. That's just how much detail goes into just those differentiators. So anyway, paradoxically, though sexual freedom was purported to be born under the umbrella of liberal thinking, progressive ideologies such as these have been proven to be a detriment to society due to the inherent self-interest and self-centered nature, or the selfishness and the conflict with natural law as well as God's law. I mean, how are you bettering society when you're only pursuing what fetishes fancy you? Therefore, these are not liberal in the classic definition, because it is a violation of natural law and God's law. Such is the way for all special interests who seldom care of the cost to or the consequences on society. They only care that their means are implemented to reach their end, and in this case, the end is to eradicate alternate ideas and philosophies of God's law and natural law. You got to understand, folks, that, like I said, there may be people that unwittingly just become, you know, perverted for whatever, you know, deviation they dive into. But the fact of the matter is that when we start really looking at those who want to force change, it becomes an ideological thing, not just a perversion. And so when people want to start inflicting, and oh, everybody should enjoy these types of things, they have become a subversive, not just a pervert, just a pervert, if that makes sense. Because of the effects open sexual freedom has on society, one can see the consequence of this violation of natural law, where one cannot physically procreate and build a family in their quote-unquote chosen state. Again, one must subvert natural law to acquire the desired outcome. Humans are capable of comprehending the consequences of their actions when they engage in behavior that violates natural law and God's laws. They are, in essence, in the act of denying these laws. Again, humans differ from all other animals due to cognitive capabilities and understand the consequences of their decision. To emphasize what individual liberty is in society again, it is the congruence of freedom with responsibility and accountability. The results... Therefore, the results of humans trying to free themselves from the consequences of their choices only ends up destroying individual liberties. Paradoxically, secular progressives use freedom as a portal to commit this atrocity and are counting on an immoral society to give them a pass, not understanding the consequences. Now, I'll even go beyond just a moral society, a tolerant society, because when you have a tolerant society and allows things to, you know, to propagate a degeneracy or something that's destructive, it's almost like, you know, realizing that, you know, you get herpes, you get the sexually transmitted disease, and allowing it to propagate without trying to curtail the spreading of that. One of the things I also want to share is my, basically my citation from my book on society and liberty. Civil society is wholly dependent upon the symbiosis between the fundamental principles of liberty, free agency, responsibility, and accountability. When these principles are balanced and in harmony with the individual citizens, liberty that can then act as a catalyst in elevating synergy within the community and society. These synergies will lead to stronger spiritual well-being, greater productivity, improved health, and the development of wealth. That, my friends, is a truly enlightened society, when all of a sudden things are increasing and things are improving to where we don't have sexually transmitted diseases, because people are People are compliant with nature's law and God, or not nature's law, natural law and God's law. We don't start going down these deviant tangents and into these rat holes that will actually destroy us and cause all sorts of societal problems. So we'll be right back after this.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
All right, so why is natural law so important? And as a matter of fact, I want you to look in context to when societies align with God's law or natural law, how well they succeed and how well they grow in productivity. Look at America in its founding. The reason why Alexis de Tocqueville was able to make the common and the simple assertion that America was good because it was great. What he meant was in looking at, you know, America, it was good not because of its government, because government in Europe was draconian. Government in Europe was self-aggrandizing. It was trying to centralize controls. They controlled so many facets of your life. You didn't have individual liberty. In America, where individual liberty was, you know, the foundation, they didn't have government that created a bunch of laws. So what was it that kept America good? What was it that kept America moral and on the path of goodness and growing? It was the religious faith of America. And that's why I think, and I don't know what the citation is in the book, and I'm going to just paraphrase, that when Alexis de Tocqueville went around the courts and he went around the government and he made these notes and he actually stated, and here's an interesting thing that you didn't know, that when he was in New York, he saw that a state courthouse actually dismissed a claim, a lawsuit by a gentleman who refused to swear on the Bible and refused to actually, you know, admit, you know, to God and claimed to be atheist. Something you didn't know. During the early years of America, when a person was being called as a plaintiff or called as a witness, nine times out of 10, the court would actually look at the individual's involvement in their faith. And as a matter of fact, with Thomas Jefferson, most people know that Thomas Jefferson supposedly abandoned his post when Benedict Arnold and his British forces were chasing him around the Monticello hillsides, that Jefferson was unable to get to Richmond to actually do a changeover, because the day he was being chased was supposedly the day he was supposed to be in Richmond to have his succession of authority as governor. He was being replaced by the newly elected governor. And so, because most people don't know and they don't talk about Thomas Jefferson being the governor of Virginia. So here's the interesting thing. The gentleman that took over as governor of Virginia felt insulted. He didn't like Jefferson and wanted Jefferson charged for abandoning his post, and actually wrote a charge against him. And so they were going to have a hearing, like a grand jury hearing, to determine whether he needed to be tried for abandoning his post or not. And so when the traveling judge came into town and actually pulled up, to the courthouse, Jefferson was there, the prosecuting attorney, and all the parties were there. And basically, the judge sat down, because he had already done the due diligence and the research, and the judge sat down and said, he called forth the attorneys and Jefferson himself, and basically laid the ground rules and said, "Mr. Jefferson, because you are not a Christian in good standing in your community, then this court will not allow you to testify. Therefore, you can ask questions to bring forth evidence, and you can cross-examine, but you as a witness for yourself cannot testify." And I mean, if you understand what I just said, I mean, that goes in, that flies in the face of freedom. No. As a matter of fact, Joseph Story clearly pointed out, and there were many cases where cases were thrown out because the plaintiffs were not Christians, and because they were atheists, they weren't allowed a day in court. You didn't know that, did you? That doesn't mean that America was a certain Christian faith, but America had grounded itself in these forms of faith. And so this is why Joseph Story, in his bibliography, or his biography, I should say, in his own words, he basically said that the reason why they didn't allow atheists a minute in court was because they couldn't testify to a greater being that what they were saying was the truth. In other words, we had to take, and we don't take man's word for it. We believe that if you don't feel you're accountable to anybody, then you can say anything. Imagine that kind of paradigm today. Oh, well, we wouldn't have it. I am telling you that's how it started out in America. Now we have reached the reverse end of this. And what do I mean by that? We now look at people and we convict them because of their faith. When somebody is going in front of the Senate and they are going into a position, Supreme Court or what have you, and you happen to have a high level of faith, you are being prosecuted because of that. You have to be godless to be an active person in politics, in government, which flies in the face of the Constitution, that there should be no religious tests, no religious tests regarding public service. Now, there was no requirement to have a religious test for courts. For you to be able to have your day in court, you had to at least be an honorable person of integrity. This is why Joseph Story kind of laid the law down on this whole concept that these are infidels. We cannot trust these people. So when you start looking at natural law and you start doing the research, there's a lot of people that talk about the Constitution incorrectly. That's why I started off in our previous episode going through two different opinions on natural law and the Constitution. The Constitution was designed in such a way that allowed the people to be governed in two to three forms. One form was actually the government. The federal government had jurisdiction over very specific things. Any type of commerce that you wanted to ship overseas, they had control of that. Any commerce that came in from overseas to you, they had control of that as well. And they could put imposts on that or what have you. They've had the authority to declare war. They have the authority to mint coins, not control the economy or create a bank. Anyway, so they were very limited in what they could do. So the other governing objects in a person's life could have been the state, and most states were pretty much, you know, they were only concerned about commerce. They, you know, started creating laws like, you know, traffic laws, road laws, and those types of things. But for the most part, and they had laws that like blue laws, because those laws were driven societally from the religious, you know, faiths or the culture and the faith of the people in that local society, such as the state, city, or what have you. Needless to say, that the majority of the regulations the people lived under in the beginning of this republic, those people lived under the rule of the church. The church would excommunicate you. They would shame you. They would, you know, they had these controls. And you know, the progressives, the secular godless, did not like the fact that they were being, you know, downtrodden because, you know, they had this, actually they created a paradigm that they were bad and they were evil. What they didn't do, what the secular progressives didn't do, was they didn't create their own church and basically say, here's our doctrines, hold us to these standards. No, what they did was they started attacking churches and saying, this is unfair, this is unfair. As far as I'm concerned, society made a huge mistake. It's one thing to create your own church and to, you know, basically shun your own people for, you know, doing the things that you can consider a sin, such as reading the scriptures or you know, praising the, you know, the Lord, saying amen, those types of things. Well, you know, that's blasphemy in our church, and so we won't do those things. It's one thing to go down that path. But it's another thing to start attacking other people for their faith and their conscience. And in so doing, when you understand why we've read Madison's essay on property, you should understand that the most precious property you have is your conscience and your relationship with Christ or your God. And therefore, when the secular progressives were able to rip away and start creating laws that inhibited your expression and your faith and so forth, they, in essence, have stolen your property. They have stolen things from us, and we need to start restoring all those things that we stole. I just want you to know that there is an easy path forward. It just takes a little bit of faith. And I will tell you that the Lord will bless us just like he blessed the framers in the successes that they had in turning this country around. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.